Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 40 of 150. Hustler Casino Live 4/11/22, part 2. Listener note, if you want to hear part 1 of this episode where I cover everything that happened in my life and at the tables leading up to and 1 hour into my fourth session played on the HCL stream, head on over to patreon.com/DGAFpokerplayer and sign up to become a patron real quick for $4.20 a month. At that point, you will get a custom RSS feed, which is so easy to connect to your podcast player. A boomer can do it in less than 1 minute. Sound guy timed that shit with SD Gen, so we know that's true. And then at that point, you can listen to part 1 of this episode first if you want. You will also gain access to over 800 hours of Patron-only session spew. You know, all the seasons, all the drops, including interviews with Marley Cordero, Matt Berkey, Doug Polk, Brad Owen, and many, many more. Okay, with that out of the way, let's resume the story of my life, a story called Sessions. The session continued. So we're a little over an hour into my fourth time playing on the 11th of April on stream. And it took me a while to get used to commentating. I was a little nervous the first time I was in there with Mark Goon. And I got less nervous as we went on and I'm feeling pretty comfortable in there nowadays, and I've done it a total of maybe 2 months, if you just, you know, put all the days together that I've worked. So I still have a ton to learn, but I'm feeling more comfortable. I'm not feeling comfortable playing on stream yet, and especially on this night, I am out of sorts. If you listen to the drops leading up to this one, or just the lead up even to this one, part one, I have not been sleeping. I've just been working, and my head has not been right. It's been a little concerning, and it's just when you're on the grind so hard, you're going to feel like this sometimes. And anyways, we're about an hour into the stream, and I'm already stuck. I already got my worst play out of the way, though. That was a bomb pot where I floated in a good spot to float and then didn't adjust on the turn when I realized it was a misread, or the person, Casper, played it differently than I would expect anyone like him to play it on the flop in a bomb pot on queen, queen, deuce, dry board. But anyways, yeah, so that's where we're at. And now we're going to get into some timestamps. I'm going to run through a bunch of hands. I took notes on every hand that I V-pipped, and even some I didn't, and that's what we're going to run through in the next hour. So at 1:42:15, so the first 30 minutes of any stream is just the intro, so we're about an hour and 12 minutes into the actual play. Beans straddles to 200, and Darren raises to 500 in the hijack, and Mike calls in the cutoff, and no one seems particularly strong. I have ace-jack offsuit in the small blind. This is a squeeze spot, and I go to 2,000. And Beans folds, and Darren calls, and I like my hand. Ace-jack offsuit, I think he could have some pairs. We could be flipping, but I like my hand to be best here, and Mike folds. There's 47-20 in the pot, and part of me not playing well lately, which admittedly I have not been playing well, and since I started hosting really at Hustler, so just getting used to a new schedule and an additional job, and part of that's been the grind, right? Like that I've talked about. And part of it, I keep running into the weirdest fucking shit of all time. The guy playing solid all night loses his mind against me, starting preflop, and you'll see that soon. And here's another example. So Darren calls. I have the better hand with ace-jack offsuit. There's 47-20 in the pot. I have 48-40 left. I'm going to be jamming many flops. Just, you know, to say I'll be balanced, I won't be balanced. If I flop something really good, I won't be jamming. But I'll be jamming a shitload of flops. And, you know, I'll be betting for protection on some, like if it comes like, you know, deuce six or something, I'll be betting and getting it in and whatever. That's not important. But I plan to jam a lot of flops here. I made it 2,000 preflop. I'm kind of at the bottom of my 2,000 pre range with ace jack offsuit at this juncture. And anyways, the flop comes out nothing for me. It comes out 9-6-5 with two hearts. I don't, and I'm going to probably jam here. And because it's just a pot size bet, that's what you know, and you're going to fold out hands with equity. You're going to fold out a hand like deuces, threes or fours. And you know, so many hands have equity against your ace jack. I'm going to jam here, and maybe you could even fold out a hand like pocket tens. Who knows? But Darren goes all in out of turn. He goes all in out of turn. And it's not caught on camera or it's not picked up on the show, but he goes all in out of turn. So this is some of the weirdest shit of all time. And so I check and then it's his all in. And I think, and like, I want to call and it's just so weird. And I, you know, my earlier spew in the first hour of the session cost me here because I'm buried, or not buried, but I'm stuck. And like, things get more confusing when your image turns to shit after bluffing all the time, never having it. And it's just too confusing, the all in out of turn. And it's just not a great flop. Obviously 9-6-5 and I have ace jack and I just fold. And you know, partly it's money and partly it's just too weird. And he shows ace four of diamonds. If this was anyone else at the table, I would have had some words for them. It almost felt like an angle. It's doing stuff out of turn I know it's not. Darren's heart of gold. I love this guy. I love playing with him, loving him, drinks with him. And anyone else, I would have had words for. I didn't like this at all, but I love Darren. So I just wanted to get revenge at some point in this night if I could. It wasn't great move by him, but no one's perfect. And it's just, you know, he's awesome. He's drinking, he's laughing. It's fine for that he did it. It's just also one of those weird fucking situations. Like, first of all, he could have folded his ace-4 suited to 2,000 when we're going to have a pot-sized bet behind. He didn't. I had him dominated. I didn't flop anything. I could have flopped something. That's another option. And I also could have flopped a really dry board where I wouldn't be folding ace high. And also, he could have not gone all in out of turn. All these things are starting to wreck my brain a little bit. And this is how I think. It's not healthy. It's just the result of being in poker too long, swinging too much. You think of all the different butterfly effects that occurred in any given hand. And yeah. I reload to 10,000. Okay, let's go. Let's play. And obviously, if I was deeper, he probably wouldn't shove there, and I would just probably win that pot. Anyways, another interesting thing is that they ran it out, and had I jammed and he called, which probably wouldn't happen, but had I called his jam, his out of turn jam, a four came, I would have lost. So it's just fucking a lot to think about. And now it's okay. I'm gonna buy in for the max, and you guys got me ready to battle. Not quite mentally, but like spiritually, I didn't like that hand. Okay, 145-10. Mike opens to 200. So who knows? It's hard to keep track of what the straddles are and whatnot. I imagine there was at least a $40 straddle. I call with Jack 10 offsuit. TJ calls, And that's the nine seat. He hardly played any hands. It comes 9-7 deuce with two diamonds. Mike bets. Mike had 8-6 of diamonds. Huge flop. I call and TJ folds. I have, you know, two overs and a straight draw. I don't know he has such a monster. And he bet 330 into 660. He bet exactly half pot. I called. The turn's a four. He checked. I'm checking back. And I thought maybe he was looking to check raise me. And then the river was a king, and he checks. And I bet small, just trying to rep like I have a 9 or a 7. I'm trying to value own him. I know he can make a good fold. It's debatable. Anyways, he folded. It's, you know, whatever. And it's nice that he bricked out. And now Beans button straddles. And I tell him, it's whack, man. Button straddles are whack. But, you know, he's enough action that it's okay. But they're just not good for the game. And anyways, 149.25. I overlimp Kobe, just $40. I'm going to play Kobe in L.A. for sure on stream. Yeah. And a limper, why not? It comes 9-4-3. I flop middle pair. I didn't know that two other people also flop middle pair. Ronnie being one of them, he bets. I call. I have the deuce of diamonds. There's two diamonds out there. And Leo calls, and I don't know what Leo has, but turns the ace of diamonds and check to me. And I bet 350 into 580. I have a wheel draw with my what was second pair on the flop. Now it's third pair. I have a flush draw. And Leo calls, and I just think he has a big diamond with a nine. It turns out he had a big diamond with a four. So I was a little surprised he overcalled the flop. And the river's a diamond. So I make a flush on the river. It's no good. He had the jack of diamonds. He had jack four offsuit. And it's just it's a little tilting. I was going to win this pot on a lot of rivers. I really felt like when he called my bet, he was drawing on the turn. And yeah, he had me beat, but he was also drawing. In his mind, he was just drawing. And you can see I started drinking a little bit faster. And I wish I wasn't so obsessed with variance. You know, if the river just isn't a diamond or, you know, a four would have been obviously, well, there were no fours left, but you know what I mean. It's the session's not going well at all. And admittedly, I've played poorly, but also just running into the weirdest shit. Leo in there overcalling with jack four offsuit on the flop. Like, the guy's playing most solid at the table. And so I started chilling with Ronnie, just talking horse racing and other stuff. And I'm down 58-10 at this point. That's what it says on the board. And then at 157-40, it's a bomb pot. I have ace, king of hearts. I bet 320. It says the pot's 900 because nine people put in 100. That's not true. They take the collection out for, you know, 200 and whatever. So it's 320 and like six something. People play bomb pots very scared. I think this bet sizing is okay. It's king 10-5 rainbow. There's no draws. Darren calls. The turn, you know, so now we have 1280, it says, or we do. And the turn's a jack. I bet 500 here. He could have turned two pair, but he could also had a hand like queen jack and just turned a pair. I need to get value. And the river's a jack. And so I bet 500 again. I think it's a good little value bet. He says, I'm only calling because it's you. And that's the mentality of bomb pots. People are, they don't want to call light. And I don't know. I could have maybe won more, but I got three streets with top pair in a bomb pot. And the board paired in a, you know, it was king 10-5, jack, jack. It's okay. Now, Beans accidentally had added on for too much money. And I was surprised that it was brought to the floor's attention. And Louis corrected it, and I was a little surprised. I thought it was more like anything goes, but it's interesting that they, I don't know, I was just surprised, not in any good or bad way. We're straddling to 100. This game is fucking, this game is 5,100 at this point, mostly. It's not 10-20 by any stretch. Anyways, Leo asked me if I wanted a diamond on the river, or the hand he won, and I said, I want to suspend time. Meaning I just want to keep playing. Like, no, I did not want a diamond on the river. Thanks for asking, Leo. And I go way back with Leo, over 10 years. So, you know, he's going to bust my balls, and who knows why he's asking that. At 2:02:05. So the show it you know, has been running for over 2 hours, but 30 minutes of it was intro, so we're about 92 minutes into actual poker. I'm the 20, there's no straddle on, and Worldwide Wob goes to 80, and Casper calls, and Ronnie calls, and I call. I have 9-7 of diamonds, and, you know, it's decent equity against their hands, and I flop. Nothing right. Yeah, that's right, Kanye. So you could get bailed out there. Like, you're not playing well. You're running into the weirdest shit. And you have a hand that could just flop huge, and you don't. And you're not, no one's entitled to a bailout. But anyways, Ronnie is singing. And he's singing The Gambler. And there's a big pot going on here. And I didn't know if my mic... So usually when there's a big pot between two players, only their mics are up. My mic was down. But I was... next to Ronnie, and I was shuffling my chips as percussion. Like, I was keeping time with his singing, like, you gotta know when, you know, I was just doing that with my chips, and I didn't, it was in vain. My mic was turned off. I was adding a little music to his singing, and whatever, but I actually enjoyed it. I was kind of a mental mess on this day. But I was just enjoying, you know, like playing music. You're kind of playing music with your chips. I don't know. It was a good moment for me. But yeah, again, my mic was off. And then, but you can see me like bobbing my head, you know, to the beat that I was making with my hands for a while. And then I say, after the hand, I say, that song's about Leo. You got to know when to lock it up. So Leo won a bunch sometime when I was commentating, and he locked it up. And I criticized him. And I don't really criticize the players very often. Some I go way back with. I feel like I can. And I apologize to him for it. But now he's winning again. He's winning huge. And, I got to needle him a little bit. You always got to needle the guy winning a bunch. Make sure they don't lock it up. Anyways, I call 30 the next hand in a limper. So it's 10, 20, 40. I'm the 10. I have queen 7 offsuit. I got it. I flop nothing. It's fine. Next hand, Worldwide Wob limps under the gun. If you didn't know, he's a great follow on Twitter. Covers the NBA. He's probably the most prolific NBA tweeter, I think. I don't know. I've always liked his content. Anyways, he limps under the gun. And Casper, who hasn't done shit, makes it 150. Casper beat me in a bomb pot earlier. And what happened was, he bet 400. He fired out 400 on queen, queen, deuce, rainbow. And just in the history of time, that's not something someone would do with a queen in a bomb pot. It's not going to get any action. And you're just so much better off checking or betting tiny. And so also, if he thinks the pot's 900, it's not that big. But I know the pot's smaller because that's why we do a bomb pot, is take out collection. And I just got... it was an easy call for me on the flop. This is in part one. It's such an easy call for me when someone does something that is almost never trips, and it's a bomb pot. I can have all the queens. Obviously, I floated with 9-6, and then on the turn, he bet, and I should have aborted mission. Like, oh shit, he had something that people don't usually have, and I knew it, and I still raised to 1,700, whatever. That's all this guy's done, is played a bomb pot. And so when Worldwide Wob limps under the gun, and this guy raises to 150, his first, like, action of the fucking night, and Mike calls. I just call with ace jack offsuit. This guy hasn't done anything, and he looks like he's trying to win, and he looks focused while, you know, and Wob calls as well, and I'm in position with ace jack. It comes ace 5-3 rainbow, and there's 650 in there, and Wob checks, and this guy Casper bets 300 four ways, and Mike folds, and I call, and Wob folds. The turn is a 3, ace 5, 3, 3. This is a fantastic card if you have a big ace to keep getting value on. It's just epic, right? And he bets 800, but I'm not going to fold yet. I just, I just don't know enough about this kid. I'm going to call, and I made a mistake when I called. I did it. There's little things you got to do at the table to, like, protect your range, your hand, whatever. I called too fast, which is a weak hand. It's just a bluff catcher is what it is always. And anyways, the river's an 8, and now he bets 1,500. And this is a fold. It's a fold. And I had ace jack, and I folded, and he had queen 9. So he just went from playing no hands and winning to losing his mind. And he raised queen nine after Wob limped under the gun. I don't know that that's any good. And got three callers, Mike, myself, and Wob. And then he bet on ace 5-3 with queen nine. And that's just beyond ambitious. And it turns a three, and he bet again. And he doesn't know anything about me, I don't think. And then he put what looked like a value bet out there on the river. And it's great. It was a good river bet. The rest of the hand was pretty ridiculous. And it's a fold, even though I had the best hand. And so if you play on stream and you have the best hand and you fold it, it's always going to be a bad fold. It's not. I encourage people to not be results-oriented and to think about that goddamn hand. It's a fucking fold. Maybe if I'm locked in, I can pick up on something that he does during the hand, but I'm not, man. I am not locked in. I'm not rested. I've just kind of been a mess for a while, and sometimes I am. I'm on the grind. I work every day, all night. Sometimes I'm a mess, and sometimes I'm not totally a mess, and sometimes I get locked in. If I'm locked in, maybe I pick up on something, but this is just a fold, and he sighs, and then I realize, oh, I probably got bluffed, and I tell Magic, deal faster. This is just, okay, fucking deal faster. Let's go. Like, these guys are fucking doing the weirdest shit against me, and it's working. We just keep going. Let's go. Let's keep dealing. Let's keep playing. And I just want to get to, you know, there's no long run in poker, especially in a given session, but I just want to get more volume in. And I can't wait till it gets shorthanded late night. To be honest, this has kind of been my whole career. Once I transitioned from solid poker pro to crazy game builder, just lose when it's full ring. It gets shorthanded late night. It gets bigger, win all the money. That's what I want to get to. That's just a pipe dream, though. Let's go to the next timestamp because we got a lot of them. It's 2:11:45, and Beans puts 200 on the button. I open with King Queen offsuit in the cutoff, and he calls. And so we have 14:50 in there, right? It was 10, 20, 40, or no, sorry, 10, 20 with a $20 big blind ante. And then he put 200 on the button. I open to 700. I think it's a reasonable sizing in the cutoff. I have king queen offsuit. It's a good hand. He calls, and here we go. I'm out of position. Comes 10-5 deuce. I check. He checks. The turn's a queen. Should I bet here? No. I should check against Beans. He was just all in three ways with jack 8 suited. He's the most erratic player the show has ever seen, which is going to make him a star if he continues to play like that. And he's hard to play against, but you want to play with him, and you definitely, on this, you're going, in this spot, you're going to check, which I did, and he checked. And then if I bet the river, he can call super light, or maybe bluff, whatever. He loves to bluff, that's why I'm checking the turn, and he loves to bluff call, right? So then maybe I can trick him and get him on the river, whatever. And anyways, the river is 10-5 deuce, turn queen, river's a four, and I bet here, and Raver, the commentator, who I work with a lot and we're trying to build this show, says I'm just off on this night. He's right. I am off on this night. To think that's a bad bet because my opponent river two pair, that's incorrect. That's results oriented. It's so easy to do. I do it when I'm commentating. No, I'm not off betting that river. No way. This hand's played absolutely fine. I bet the river 2K, an amount I would bet. You know, a pretty balanced bet. I would bet a lot with my bluffs. And Beans min-raises me. He thinks I'm bluffing. I know that. That's why he's min-raising. So if he thinks I'm bluffing, he could be doing it with much worse than king-queen. I call. He has four deuce. He has the Kobe. Good for him. He made two pair against my top pair after straddling the button for 200. Played this hand absolutely fine. Ran bad. I'm down 98-20. And also, so I don't, you know, I just started playing big again after 5 years of being stuck in, like, you know, playing some big games, but mostly like 2-5-10, 5-10-20, that. And now it's, you're stuck 10K. Like, even when I did play bigger, if I lost 5K, I was gone. I didn't have any more money. I'm down, you know, 10 here. And also, I won 2K earlier in the day in the warm-up session when I was hosting, and that makes me feel a little bit better. I remember feeling, well, that sucks to be down 10, but at least I'm only down 8 in reality. Whereas the session before, I was down 3 early, and I lost 2 before I started playing. And I was thinking, oh, shit, I'm actually down 5. And I'm just letting you know what's going through my head. That's what I try and do in this podcast, is tell the story of my life, all my poker, all my life stuff. And I try and keep the life stuff just for the patrons, because I don't feel like they're going to judge me. They're just going to take it as entertainment, which it is. It's not, I'm not trying to teach anyone anything. I'm not trying to, it's not, I'm not looking for self-improvement. I mean, I am through talking about my shit, I am organic shit, but yeah. So I'm telling you that I was, after that hand sucked. That hand, you know, I got bluffed with the ace jack in just the weirdest spot. He's just not supposed to have bluffs there, and it's just supposed to be a value hand, but he does play a little different, you know, a little unorthodox. And this hand is just, what do you mean, man? It's 200. I opened a 700 in the cutoff because the 200's on the button. If it was, you know, the 200 was going to be out of position, I would just open to 600 either way. And the guy's sticky and whatever. It makes sense. And then it comes 10, 5 deuce, and it's just a check and evaluate, and he checks and turns a queen. It's a check against this guy. Let him value bet worse. Let him try and protect against ace king. Let him start bluffing, whatever. And then the river is a brick. 10-5 deuce, 4. I mean, queen 4. And I bet a big bet that I would bet if I was bluffing or have it. And he min raises. I know he thinks I'm bluffing. That's what that min raise is about. And so if he thinks I'm bluffing, it's just an easy call. And so Raver was right that I was off, but not in this hand. This hand's fucking absolutely fine, and I call for more chips. The session's not going great. I opened 9-7 of clubs to 200, so Mike had straddled to 50 in this hand, and Wob calls, and he calls, and it comes king queen 9. I check back bottom pair, turns a jack, and I just fold, and both players had me beat. So I take a break, because I'm on tilt, and I need to, you know, take a piss. I'm drinking, and I need to do some breathing, and, you know, I come back, and it's basically 10, 20, 100, and I'm trying to get more chips. And the next note has nothing to do with the hand. Wob says Kareem is his GOAT, the greatest of all time basketball player, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I've never heard that before, and I've always said that LeBron is, and a younger me would be like, this guy's insane. But when you get to be 48, you learn to respect different opinions, and especially someone who's way more knowledgeable in something than you are. And I'm thinking, I don't know anything about Kareem's defense. I just remember it was grainy television. He used to have goggles and throw up that fucking skyhook that went in every time. And you know, maybe he is. And it's just interesting. I've never heard that before. Yeah. Next time, if I play with Wob again, I will ask him to expand upon that. I think that was kind of a different take. And yeah, at 221-10, someone made a 410, and I'm in there with Jack 10 and multi-way, and then Leo had queens and he squeezed and folded. So there's 410 gone, but the game is, you know, it's 10-20-100, and Jack 10's a, you know, reasonable hand to call 4.1x multi-way, and I called 80 on the next hand, so I must have been the 20, and it was, you know, 10, 20, 100. I had queen, deuce of spades. It was a limper, and came 9-6-4, and we checked. The turn's a 10, and why did I bet here? I wanted to win up hot. I don't have any equity, obviously, with queen, deuce on 9-6-4-10, but you get a little more creative when you can't win a hand, and I'm thinking, shouldn't someone have bet the flop if they had a 10 in their goddamn hand? Like, you know, if you had 7-8, 10-8, 10-7, whatever. And, you know, it's not true, because if you have 10 big cards, you're not betting that flop. Anyways, Leo calls, and I feel gross, and like I don't want to bluff again. But, of course, the river's a mandatory bluff card. It's a 7, 9-6-4, 10-7. Any 8 beats whatever his obvious 10 is. And I just try and rep it, and this is bad. He snap calls with queen 10. And it's a fucked session. It's the fucking The truth is, when you can't win a hand and your image is shit, you just, even in these automatic bluff spots, you got to shut it down. You got to just fucking shut it down. And yeah, I was trying to reinvent the wheel a little bit on the turn that a lot of tens would have bet the flop. So this, it should be like an okay card to take a stab at, but and no one had a nine, obviously, or a six. So it could get through sometimes. He just happened to have queen 10. And even you're just going to shut it down, right? And then a four card straight appears, and you know he doesn't have that because he didn't do anything on the flop. And you know, and it goes back to what my friend said. In case you don't know the story, my friend Pete was one of the best poker players I ever played against. He was talking about buying yachts and, you know, helicopter rides from Vegas to San Diego and whatnot. And then he ran so bad one year, and he looked at me one night. And he knew what his opponent, he always knew what his opponents had. He said, just because you know what they have doesn't mean you get to win. And that's the situation here. So it was a bad fucking river bet. I don't know. It's just a, you know, maybe $600 that I just gave to Leo. It's fine. He's a nice guy, actually. Who cares? At 227.37, it's time to go to the streets, though. I need to start winning some pots. And so Mike opens a lot of hands. He opens about 60% of them. And in the hijack to 300, it's 10-20-100. He goes to 300. I'm on the button with ace deuce offsuit. Is this a fold? Yeah. Not when it's time to take this shit to the streets. I go to 1,000. Let's go. Like, if I'm going to keep running into it, I'll keep running into it. If I'm not, I'm going to start manufacturing pots, and they all fold. And they got me stuck. 13,000, and I'm trying to self-medicate. You can see it. I like to have like a slow drip of beer while I'm playing, just to like make the table talk more interesting, to not overthink things and just kind of enjoy myself. It's the one part of my grind where I can actually decompress a little bit. You know, I don't drink when I podcast or commentate or host. So yeah, but on this night, I'm definitely trying to self-medicate, trying to find some lucidity, some clarity that I just haven't had. Like, you know, you just haven't had in a few days, and I'm trying to get there. And then the $200 straddle's on again. It's beans button again, wob limps, Mike limps. I limped queen six of clubs, and I think bean squeezed, and I default. The notes are, first of all, I wrote wob is just so cool. This guy is very cool. I like playing with him. Hope he comes back on the show sometime. The next note is I talk about how, well, in case you didn't know, there's going to be a lot of competition in the poker streaming game. Doug Polk and Brad Owen and Andrew Nemi are going to come up with a great product at the Lodge. No question. The Bike has a lot of money, and they revamped Live at the Bike. There's going to be competition, and I like our side in that we've had 8 months to build a base and whatnot. And just the different talents. Ryan is, I don't know if anyone could be more talented in putting together games. He's got so much patience. No one ever tilts him, it doesn't seem like. And there's a lot of high maintenance requests and whatnot, and schedules changing. Well, another big talent is Patrick, the camera guy. I pick up on his genius work when I'm commentating. He'll zoom in on like Mayhem's Affliction shirt, the back of it, and it's just genius shit. And like, he'll zoom in on someone stacking their chips to 10 high. And on here, he zooms in on me. I just dusted off to Ronnie, and I can't win a hand. I've tried bluffing, and I folded the best hand a couple times. And he zooms in on me, and then he zooms in on Darren's Life is Bluff shirt. And I know what he's doing when I'm watching it back. It's fucking great. I don't know. And it's subtle. Obviously, he doesn't have a voice. His voice is that camera, and I've loved it from the beginning when Armenia Mike would be going off on the dealer. He'd show a split screen of Armenia Mike and whoever the dealer was. I don't know. So we got a lot of notes. I gotta keep going here. I open Kobe, deuce four offsuit, to 300. It's 10-20-100. Casper defends. He's already beat me in two nice pots. I floated in a good float spot and then didn't adjust on the turn and bluffed the turn 1700. That was horrible. And then I folded the best hand in a spot that wasn't bad. He kind of lost his mind And he defends here. He's the 100. He defends 200 more. I have deuce 4. It comes. Ace 5 deuce. That's a good flop for me. I just bet 300. And he folds and says, little rebate. What? That's not a little rebate. You defended 200 more and obviously flopped nothing and fold. And he's a nice kid, but that shit is tilting. And you hear it on the camera, I cancel my plans. All week, I'd said, I need some balance in life. So at 9 p.m., I'm gone. I'm going out to eat, maybe some live music, something, and I cancel my plans. But I had said to myself all week, you're never staying later than 9 p.m. on this night because you need this for your soul, for your mental health, for fucking everything. And you say a little rebate, okay, I'm canceling my plans. I'm playing until everyone quits. I announce it, yeah. And this kid's nice, but I didn't want to hear that shit in that moment. And I open the next hand, queen jack offsuit, and take it. I'm starting to manufacture some pots. When there's a $100 straddle on there, you know, you're winning 150 every time you take it down. And I'm down 10,500. And I fold a pot, I fold a hand, and I'm going to spew a little bit again. I've been playing every hand. So I was taking notes on this. I'm like, I play every fucking hand. And I used to do this back in the day when people sat deep. I would play almost every hand. And I remember I folded one hand one time. And this funny guy named Uncle from the East Coast told the dealer to stop and said, whoa, 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 what happened? And it was like the first hand I had folded in 3 hours. And he was just being fucking hilarious. And I finally folded one on stream on this night. And then bomb pot. I have six deuce. It comes 10-10 queen. And TJ bets and Leo raises. And it's great. We know Leo has a good 10. And TJ has a bad 10. And turns a queen. And they both check. And the river's a brick. And neither one takes this opportunity to try and bluff the other off a chop. This is such an easy bluff off chop spot. And they both check. And they talk about the hands. And I say, great analysis, guys. I'm tilted. And then at 244-15... Darren opens to 300. I call from the big blind from the 20, 8-7 offsuit. I'm going to play street poker the rest of the way. Beans calls from the 40, and it's three amigos. Myself, Beans, and Darren. I like both of these guys. And we got some money in the pot. It comes king 4 deuce with two hearts. I have 8-7 offsuit. We check around. The turn's a jack of hearts. There are three hearts out there. I have the eight of hearts, and I check, Beans checks, and Darren bets 300 into 930. Mm-mm. I already said I'm taking this game to the fucking streets. I go to 1,800. This is, your image sucks. You're not repping a ton, but damn, you're making it a lot of money right now, and that's another gear I have. Let's go. Beans goes in the tank. He knows what I'm doing, but I just made it enough. He was open-ended. Where he wants to just send it all in. I can feel this. And he's looking at me, and I pass the fucking, the eyeball test. I pass the Beans, stare you down and figure out if you're bluffing or not test. He wanted to. He sensed that I was, but when he was trying to get a read on me, he couldn't. I wrote in my notes, no read, fuckhead. And I mean that in a loving way. And then he folds, and Darren folds, and I told him they both played it great. Because they were talking, and I said, I think you guys both played it great. And I told him I had a little flush. Everyone knows I'm joking. I'm on tilt, but I'm not being angry tilt. I'm just being guy who's been in the game too long trying to make a comeback tilt. And the next hand, I limp, with king four of spades, and I flop. Nothing right. Yeah, that's right, Kanye. But also, so what? At least I'm not in my head anymore. I was until maybe that king-queen hand. And I like the way I played it, but I was just in my head, and now it's... I did kind of self-medicate, and I'm not in my head. I'm more buzzed than I want to be, so I'm not going to play... I lose poker ability that way, but at least I'm not in my own head. I'm not worried about what I'm stuck. Life's going to be fine no matter how much I lose in this fucking session. I'm just... It's time to take this shit to the streets, and that feels good. And I wrote, they're fucking dead. And that's, we'll see if they are in the next 20 minutes or so. Next note is Mike, so much heart. He does fucking really respect it. And it's nice to see that, like, the hands he's doing this shit with. He just has so much heart, and I've long respected people with heart. At 257.35, I limp pocket threes for $100. And then I call four ways, a squeeze, four ways. This is a great spot, and I flop. Nothing right. You know it, but that's okay. I'm talking horse racing with Ronnie again. I really have been fascinated by horse racing most of my life. I've worked, many of you probably already know, but I've worked the California State Fair Circuit, and there's usually horse racing at all those, and I used to love getting the form and studying it at night and going to the track, and it's cool. It's just so cool to get stories from someone who was on the inside. I don't know. Something else happened during the show at this point that I didn't even realize. Worldwide Wob went beast mode. He just like flipped a switch and started fucking manufacturing his own pots at the other end of the table and just started like running over the game in the hands. I don't know that I was in any of them, and I didn't even pick up on it because I was just kind of a mess on this night. Usually I'd pick up on someone going beast mode. And then at 301.58, I talk mental health at the table a little bit. And since I joke around so much, Beans is like, are you being serious? I said, yeah, I would not joke around about this. And I wouldn't. And it was just kind of a different moment, a serious moment on stream. And there shouldn't be many of them, but sometimes there should be or there can be. And at 303, TJ opens and Mike calls. And I defend with 7-4 offsuit. And TJ, his VPIP is like 8 or whatever. And I say, oh, when did you get here? And just fucking with him. He's been playing so tight. You say, you know, it's 303. So we've been playing for 2.5 hours. Just, when did you get here, man? And call with 7-4 offsuit. Flop nothing. Who gives a shit? Go to the next hand. Call 80 with 9-5 offsuit. That's just some Dolly Parton respect right there. And no, it's really just get in with any hand in this game. People are deep now. Partly because you made many of them deep. And use your deep stack aggression to just win pots. And when you make a lucky hand, you know, massage it a little bit. When you don't, fucking blow them out of the water. That basic lag, deep stack, high stakes shit. And I flop nothing. Who cares? I just need to be relaxed when I play poker, and I rarely am. And that's okay. At least I know that's my thing. When I'm relaxed, I make really good decisions, sober or not. And I wrote a note about Leo, just that I don't need to share. It wasn't mean or anything. But at 308.48, I opened the button to 300 with 7-3 of clubs. So it's 10, 20, 100, open to 3x, 7-3 of clubs. Beans goes to 900 in the small blind. And I just had told him that, yes, I'm going to give him heads up action. He's earned it. And anyways, I call with 7-3 of clubs in position deep. And yeah, you open to 3. We're basically playing 5,100. It's just called 10-20-20. The small blind and big blind put in the 50, and then the next guy puts in the 100. It's essentially 5,100, and I open the button, 7-3 of clubs, 3x, and 300, Beans goes to 900, folds to me, I call, 7-6 deuce with a club, good flop, top pair, hell yeah. And he checks, does Beans, I bet 900, an amount he's not folding anything to, good, he calls. The turn's a 7, and when Beans called the flop, I just really thought he did not have a good hand. I thought he had a good hand pre-flop that didn't connect. And so when the turn's a 7, if you think he has like pocket 10s or something, I'm going to keep fucking barreling away because it's hard to make trips and he can't fold. But I thought he had nothing and I thought he would fold here. So I thought for a second and checked back. That's a pretty good play, whatever. And the river's an offsuit jack and now he leads 900. And I think he just kind of clicked a button, to be honest. In the moment, I thought he rivered a jack. And thought I was super weak. And I just thought for a second and slid out a 5K chip and said raise. And he snapped me off with ace queen. A little surprising. At the table, I thought he rivered a jack. And I thought my turn check was just lucky that he binked a jack. And then that's why he bet 900 instead of more. And I raised a 5K thinking he can't fold top pair. And he called me with ace high real fast. And I won 7K in that hand. That's not bad. You win 7K against ace high in a hand. That's some street shit right there. It's some spew equity being realized. You spew all the time, and then you make a hand, and people just can't fold ace high to you, even when you raised 5,000 on the river. Good. And I need to take a piss, and Ronnie was taking preflop. It was just the one time he's taking a while preflop. And anyways, I guess he went gangster in this hand. I saw it. I didn't see it because I did get up. As soon as he acted, I got up to take a piss. He was probably thinking about, should I be opening here with Beans behind? Because Beans was erratic, full-blown beast mode. And that's what Ronnie was tanking on. Anyways, he went beast mode in his hand. He had ace jack and he bet 1,000 on king 5-5, and Beans went to 4,000 and Ronnie stuffed it, and Beans had jack 7 offsuit. This game was fucking pretty nuts. 315, Mike limps for 100. Ronnie goes to 400. I got a 1,200 with pocket kings in position, and they both call. And the flop is not good. It's ace, seven, deuce with two clubs. They check. I decide to check. Yeah, I know, like, I could bet small here. It really seems like if you do that, you're betting to see where you're at. And I'm happy to just, like, read the next, what happens next instead of doing this. And anyways, the turn is a jack of clubs. Ace, seven, deuce, two clubs. Turn jack of clubs. Mike checks, and Ronnie bets 1,600. And I don't have a club. I have to fold here. I think this folds fine, and Mike had nothing, and Ronnie had like a pair of sixes with a club or something. So now Ronnie's turned it up a little bit. But also, if the turns, the jack of clubs is a really bad card for me because pocket jacks was one of the hands Ronnie could have. And now there are three clubs, and I don't have any, and I have another player behind me. I think this is a must fold spot. It's just unfortunate. And I'm down 49.90. A different flop, I could be winning a bunch of money with kings against sixes against, I think Mike might have had a pair too, maybe eights or something. Anyways, my VPIP is 43. I'm in second place at this point. Mike is at 60. I wrote fucking Mike 60. That's awesome. I felt like I was playing at least 60% of hands. I don't know. Maybe they cheated me out of some VPIP points. Bomb pot, ace five. Ace four deuce checks around because I got the gutter and the top pair. Turns a queen and Ronnie bets 300. I call, Casper calls, and Darren calls. And then the river's an ace, and they all check to me, and I overbet using my spew image. It's not great because of all the players in. I should have gone less. Ronnie almost called. I bet 2,200 or something. He almost called, and then at the last second, he remembered it was a bomb pot. And he said, it's a bomb pot? And someone said, yeah, I can tell you that. And he folded. I should have bet less due to the extra players in the pot. So use your image, yeah, but are you really bluffing against that much, against like all these opponents? Not really. So Ronnie made a good fold. Next hand, double straddle. So I double straddle to 200 and Beans goes to 600. So it's 10, 20, 20, $20 big blind ante with $20 big blind. And then $100 straddle and I go to 200 and Beans straddles 600. I call 400 more with 6-5 offsuit and he checks. I just won that big pot against him. So he's going to be less, he's going to push me around less. And I can, now I can play more straight up against him. And, it comes ace 9-7. I just bet and he folds. And then I'm at 200 again. Now I fold. And I just am seeing that, like, I play with a monkey on my back. Being in debt is whack, and also scraping by every month for 5 years is going to make you play with a monkey on your back. And even though this year overall I've run fine, I've been lately not running great. And I don't know, I'm just playing with, I need to get that monkey on my back, and then this will be really fun. And I was drinking a cocktail this time. And on the 100, and people limp, I make it 1,200 with ace, queen of spades. So maybe somebody opened. And Beans called, and Darren called. Darren must have opened. And I have ace, queen of spades, and there's 44-20 in there. So we're playing fucking big, and it comes deuce, three, jack, nary a spade. That's not a great flop for me. I check. Beans goes all in for 13,000. And, and Darren folds, and I think about calling, and I just fold. And Beans had king, jack. So he just really played that top pair strong. 326-35. Mike goes to 350. I call in the big blind with ace three offsuit and Beans calls. Comes 5-4-3 and Beans bets 1,400. This can mean many things. I have a parent and a straight draw. I call, turns a five. We check. River's a deuce. Against some players, I'd bet. Against, maybe I should have bet here. I just checked and he checked back. I think he had 7-4 offsuit. So I got there. I had plenty of equity to call on the flop and I got there. And then at 329, Darren raised 329-0. Darren raised to 300. Mike and Ronnie called. I went to 1,500 with king queen offsuit. Beans called and Mike called and Ronnie called. And so this is a huge pot. 64-20 and it came ace 10 X. And we just checked. I mean, you can say, yeah, you should be betting this with king queen. I got Beans and Mike and Ronnie in there. And the turn's a deuce of clubs and Beans bets weak. And Ronnie ships it. Ronnie had 10-7 of clubs. He picked up a flush draw with his pair and shipped it. Another opportunity squandered. I've made some pots huge preflop with good hands. Ace jack, I made it 2K. I got called by ace 4. Check folded to the all in on the flop. Ace queen of spades, it was huge. King queen offsuit, huge. And yeah. And then I do have to get up and take a piss every so often. So my VPIP is a little lower than it would be if I didn't drink. And also, I actually, believe it or not, play tighter when I drink. If you ever, like in the main, if you ever listen to my main event drops, I play so many hands because I'm sober and I can bluff more. And also, I just pick up on everything. And Beans jams 6 high over a riverbed. This guy's all in a lot. And then at 339.35, I open ace 8 offsuit and it's a limper. I didn't see it was, I just forgot. I just opened a fucking 60 and I didn't see the $100 chip. It was blending in with whatever was on the felt. So it becomes a limper instead of a razor. It comes queen 8-6. I bet with ace 8. Worldwide Wob calls and Casper calls. And the turn was whatever. I bet 800 into 1040 because not much should be able to call me here, and Casper raises to 3,500. And I think a flush draw presented itself on the turn, and he's only repping a set here, but I just decide, you probably just have the set. And he sent me his card. He's a nice kid. He sent me his cards to show me he did. He had a set of eights, and I had ace eight, and it came queen 8-6, and it was a weird hand. It was a limper because my raise didn't stand because I just like forgot we were doing the 100 and flop middle pair against middle set. And it looks so spewy, but it's not really against their ranges. It's a really good fucking second barrel. He just happened to have a fucking set and I was blocking it. The one he had anyways, this hand is 10, 20, 100, 200, 400. You want to play 10, 20 on stream? Okay. Get ready to play 10, 20 with a $20 big blind ante, 100, 200, 400. This is fucking some Friday shit. I opened a 1400 with ace 9 offsuit and Beans goes all in for 17,000. You got to fold. And he shows jack 5 offsuit. And he's talking about, I'm always going to sit on your left. And I said, well, you can definitely sit on my left when we play heads up. And I don't. He's close. He's, if he were a poker pro, no. Try sitting on my left every time. See what happens. Words come out of my mouth. And 350-105, I open the button with ace 3 offsuit. Beans calls. Leo goes to 13, and he just looks kind of scared. I'm going to call on the button in position. I could flop an ace. I could make a wheel. I could also bluff him on other boards. He has like a mid pair, and Beans calls. And I'm in position, and you know, it comes queen 6-4. Just not a great flop, and Leo fires, and we fold, and I think he had 10s, and he lifts up his beer, and it's empty. He's literally drinking an empty bottle of Corona, and I call him out for it, and I ask him, oh, wait, are you recycling? Is that what you're doing, or are you drinking a beer? Just giving him shit. This is the actual culture of High Stakes Live. It's bust balls on whoever's winning, if you have, like, a decent rapport with them, or even if you don't, and if you're losing, you get to, and if you're winning, you don't get to. And yeah, so I'm down 7K. I get to 43% VPIP. That's third place at this point. That's what I care about most. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. Bomb pot, nothing. TJ wins. And I ask him, did you put your phone in the locker? Did they mic you up yet? Just again, busting his balls for not playing any hands. Yeah. And then Leo's saying something. I said, not now, Leo. This is a good hand at 357.10. Mike limps. I limp. 9-8 offsuit, that's just 100. And Beans goes to 400, and we call. So I have 9-8 offsuit. There's 1350 in there. It comes 3-4-4, and everyone checks. The turn's an 8, now there are two spades. I bet 600. Beans calls in position, and Mike check raises to 2100. I just don't think he has it here. I'm going to call. Beans calls also. That's problematic a little bit. There's 7650 in there. I have 9-8 offsuit. And it's, you know, 3-4-4, turn 8 of spades. The river's a 6, and Mike checks, and I check, and Beans bets 2,600, and Mike calls. This is a really interesting spot. You would expect Beans to bet bigger with a bluff. You also wouldn't expect him to be calling the check raise with hands that need to bluff too often. And Mike called, and would Mike just call with trips here? Something beats me. A better 8? No, I decide I need to call. And I won 10K in that hand with 8-9 offsuit on 3-3-4-8 6. Not bad. And, you know, it's just a... I already canceled my plans. And I said, unless I get unstuck. And I need a little bit. I say, you guys gave me a lot of chips there. Like, I just had 9-8 and there was like an 8 and some other stuff. But like, you guys gave me... And I was just needling a little bit. And then I realized Mike was stuck. And I said, actually, you don't deserve this shit. Sorry. I was needling Beans. And then I'd say, okay, Leo, it's time for whatever you were saying. And just... this is just what I, you know, I remember this. And when you see it on YouTube, you say, oh, yeah. I limp with pocket sevens, and Wob raises to 300. Mike calls. I go to 1,100, and Wob goes to 3,000. He's been in beast mode. I've picked up on it a little bit, but not as much as when I watched it. And Mike goes all in for less. I call with pocket sevens. It comes queen, jack, six. There's 7,060 in there. It would be great to flop a set or get a good flop for sevens. Not a great flop for sevens. Wob bets 3,000. I could give him ace king maybe, but it's just so, maybe if I'm locked and like running well and winning, I do. I call the 3K here. And anyways, he had ace king. I would have won. I think Mike had three deuce. Yeah, like a boss. So I'm up $270. And so I said, my plans aren't canceled if I win. And my VPIP is 44. It's good. I like it in the 40s. And at 409.10, I open to 400 with 10-8 offsuit. Beans calls and TJ calls. Oh, shit. TJ's in there. You needle someone in a friendly way. He's a nice guy that I met on the casino floor, and he had 50K with him, wanted to play. I said, Ryan, this guy might be another West Side Wesley. And Ryan's like, he's not. But anyways, he's a nice guy. And so he calls my open to 400. And he must have limped, and then I made it 400. Anyways, it's Beans and TJ. Jack 10-10. I flopped trips, check. Turns a 3, 2 spades now. I bet 600 into 1,200. Beans calls. The river's a 9 and the third spade. I bet 1,200. Just hoping to get hero called, and I do. Beans calls pocket 7s. This guy just doesn't want to fold to me, and I slow roll him. And that's what we're doing. He slow rolled me earlier, and I slow rolled him at the beginning of the show. I start asking if they play here a lot. Just some shit you do to needle some people in a friendly way. And then I have a lock on some multi-way hand, and everyone rivers a straight, including me with a 10 or two other people. And I slow roll a dumb chop. I'm kind of having fun at the table. I'm out of my head. It's, you know, and yeah, I'm even or close to it. And at 14, 30, 50, Mike goes to 30. I call with 300. I call with Jack 10 offsuit, and someone else calls. Comes King 9-3 with two hearts. Mike bets. I call the gutter ball. He doesn't, you know, have a king. He just was all in with deuce 3. I call, and the turn's a 3. I hate this card for bluffing. It's a 3 of hearts. The third heart got there. I just hate it. And so I check, and then the river's another heart, and I was just going to give up, and just like that hand against Leo where it's automatic, you have to bluff here. I bet 1,000, and he called with the 10 of hearts. He had pocket 10s. It's just not a great hand, but nothing to really worry about from a play perspective. 4-15, 14, I open jacks, Wob, and Casper call. It comes jack 10-7 with two hearts and a diamond. I bet 300 into 930. I don't always bet top set, but this is very wet board. And I could have bet a little more, if I'm being honest. But I bet 300 into 930. I had a reason at the time. I still think bigger is better. And they both call. That turns the ace of hearts. Okay, so open-ended got there. And then any heart draw just got there. They check. I check. And the river's an 8 for Jack 10-7, two hearts of diamond. Turn ace of hearts completes king, queen, or a flush. And the river is an 8. Now a 9 makes a straight. And Casper bets 600 into 1830. And yes, I'm getting a great price here with my set. But I also know he's not bluffing. There are no bluffs available. And he's just not bluffing here. And he should not be value betting a hand like 2 pair. It's just, it would be bad. And I guess if it's like ace, jack, I don't know. But like I have pocket jacks. So what's he doing? Like, I just don't think it's a value bet spot. And I just really thought he had like a pair and a gutter on the flop. So I just, he must have got there with the 9. And I fold. And Raver said I thought he had hearts. I did not think he had hearts. I thought he had a straight and he wouldn't fold if I wanted to bluff with my set. Just running into weird shit. You know, like there's not much to do here, but just running into weird shit. I think it's close. Like maybe I could call, but really he doesn't have any bluffs and he shouldn't be betting that hand. And he had Jack 8 or something. He shouldn't be value betting 2 pair on that board. And that's just, it's whatever. And it seemed like he was grinding kind of, I don't know, man. I misread him every single time I played, but not, you know, I know him better now and next time will be different. Beans wins a huge flip, 17K pot. Then at 422-20, I open ace deuce offsuit and I fold to a 3-bet. I double straddled 200 at 424-30. Double straddled 200 beans to 400. I call with ace 7 offsuit, and it comes ace 10-8. And I check, and he bets. I said, "I'll give you action." I have ace 7 on ace 10-8 out of position. Turns to 7, checks, and the river's an 8. Or sorry, a 2. I bet 800. He folds. He had nothing, and my tab is 35. And I give the wait or 39. I give the waitress 100. I tell her, "Don't thank me. Thank beans," because I just, you know, just friendly needles. And then next hand, I call dark, king 7 of clubs. Comes ace 8-7-6, all spades. And I call beans, and I had the best hand, and I don't, he either turned or rivered me. And I remember Raver saying, "Mark in chat says it's a blunder, classic blunder to say, 'I'll give you action,' like I did when I had the 8-7. I did last hand. I said that to beans. You always have the nuts. You always," and I wrote, "Mark, shut the fuck up. A7 is offsuit is not the nuts on ace 10-8. Like, what are you talking about? I would say I'll give you action with many things. I don't know. There's a lot of results-oriented shit always in the chat and whatever. And it was just, I don't know who Mark is, and I don't mean it. But I wrote, "Mark, shut the fuck up," when I was doing my notes. Next hand, I have queen 6 of hearts, and Beans is in there with jack 7 of diamonds. He outflops me and he bets and I fold. And Darren got me on the cocktail. So when I was winning for like one hand, whoever was winning more, and he was down a little bit, whoever's winning more has to pay the cocktail. So he's like, "Let's settle." It was a very sharp play by Darren. I fold queen 5 offsuit for the first fold in a while, and I say, "This is the sickest fold ever." So sometimes I will just go next level stupid. In this podcast sometimes, or commentating sometimes, at the table often, and I just fold the queen, and I said, "This is the sickest fold." It's just dumb shit. And I know this Raver is really pumping sessions. I could not appreciate that more. I owe this guy some lunch for that or something. I do believe he and I will work together to make the Monday show the second best easily, quickly. And then who knows, maybe we'll make it so fun it'll be more views than Friday. Who knows? Anyways, I really appreciate him pumping that shit. Tuckman does it all the time too. I don't ever talk about sessions when I'm commentating. It's not, I don't know, but I appreciate these guys doing it. Bomb pot, nothing. 438-25. I put on the 400. Beans puts on, he opens the 800. I call the min raise with king 10. I told everyone we're playing until I'm unstuck. Comes ace, ace, deuce. I call 300 into 2,000 with king 10. Turns a queen, we check, and the river's a 10, checks. And I almost slow roll him, but it's just too dumb. I obviously have the best hand. And I get TJ to straddle all in. I asked him to straddle, and he's short, so he just straddles all in. I respect that. And it's I have to call 580, and I had 6-5, and Beans is in there, and anyways, I won that one, and then I straddled 400, I think, and I folded. The game's moving fast. It's hard for graphics to keep up. It's cool talking NBA with Wob. I raised with ace 8 offsuit and take it, and then I just when I was doing notes, I didn't see that Castor was wearing a Solve for Why hoodie. That would have changed things for me. I don't know. But put the 200 on and fold. That ace 8 forehand where Ronnie had a set of eight aces and Wob had a set of fours and Beans turned to straight. And then Ronnie just called the river. It wasn't horrible. He had Beans behind, and Beans is going all in every time. Beans played the hand perfectly, but it's not out of it. There's definitely merit to just calling Wob's bet on the river for many reasons. But everyone's going to be results-oriented always, so that's fine. But I just saw a lot of hate like in the comments for Ronnie on that one. No, you got to factor in everything. I opened King-9 offsuit to 300. Beans calls. Leo 3-bets in position. My instinct is a 4-bet. And I should have. I think my image was better now. Like, I don't, and I just knew he had like a mid, like a good pair, but like he's deep and he's winning, and I have a lot. I'm not winning, but I have a lot. And I should have 4-bet my King-9 offsuit. I think he had maybe tens or jacks. I think he would have folded. And maybe not. Who knows? At 504, 35, Jack 10 offsuit, 5 ways. Darren bets 800 into 3,100. And Mike calls. I don't think either are too strong. I got a 2,400 with Jack 10 on King 5, 4, 2 spades and a heart. And Beans shipped it in there with 6-3 and everyone folded. And then at 5-10-50, I have King 7, a diamonds, and a 6-way bloater. And I ask Magic for help. But it comes King Deuce Deuce with a flush draw. And I call 1,000 into 1,800 from Casper. And then I call 2,000 on the turn. And, you know, the flush gets there on the river, and I'm not calling, and he checks anyways. And he had ace deuce. The guy just kept making, you know, he made trips here, and he had trips in that bomb pot. And I paid him off when he had it, and I folded when he didn't. I had a rough session against this guy. But at 5-13-30, Ronnie went to 300 in the cutoff. I went to 900 with ace jack of spades on the button, $4,000 in the middle. Is that right? Oh no, I bet the flop too. 4K in the middle. The flop came Jack 10-4 with a spade, and I bet. And Ronnie called, and then the turn's a 5 of spades, and this is a good check back. And there was criticism in the chat or whatever for this is a fucking good check back. Fucking, I promise you, it is. It just is really good when you pick up the nut flush draw, and after 3-betting pre-flop and betting the flop, and the river paired the board 5, and Ronnie bet 2,300. I raised him to 5K. And for value, and Ronnie had ace jack also, and I could have hit a spade, and I wrote Magic the worst. That was the dealer. Love Magic. Bomb pot, nothing. Open queen 6 of diamonds to 600. Wob calls. Mike's all in for 1150. I isolate. I go to 3K. Oh, I'm playing poker at least. Wob folds. I have queen 6 against king jack. That's decent equity. Mike won. It's fine. I had jack deuce of clubs, and it was queen 9-8 with 2 clubs. That's a combo. I just put all the money in, and we got 10K in the middle, and I whiffed. And I made it 1,200 with queen 9 of diamonds. Darren and Mike called. It came jack 4 deuce black. I just bet 2,000. This is like full spew mode, and this is how I've played many, many sessions in my life. And it's kind of stuck poker, but it's also, you know, just it's stuck poker. And I lost 7,000 on stream. I was trying to earn for the chat pros too, and wasn't settled the whole time. And my VPIP was 46%. Mike beat me with 52. Respect, Mike. But just I didn't play well at all. I felt really bad after the session, and except that I'd canceled my plans. And after stream, we kept playing, and I got shorthanded. And magically, I just run so much better when it gets shorthanded late at night. And I got unstuck a few times, and I lost the next hand each time. And then I got to go. I got someone knocking on my door. But we were playing 51-2, and then kept playing. And I was the last one sitting, and I got him. I won pretty decent over 10 hours. Peace.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.